Hello, one and all, and welcome to another edition of The Damage Report. I am John Iadarola, very lucky to be joined today on this Big News Wednesday by Yasmin Aliyah Khan. Yasmin, welcome back to the show.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you here. You've been very busy and you're set to become even busier. What have you been up to recently?
So I've been doing videos with Rebel HQ, and I'm also about to launch season 3 of my podcast, Global Threat. And hopefully there's gonna be a lot of new exciting things on the podcast this season that I'm still working on, but it's coming
hopefully.
Very soon. Yes,
no,
it's coming. It's gonna come, yeah.
And Yaz, of course, is a contributor to Rebel HQ. There are a lot of awesome contributors there. So everyone, you can head over to Rebel HQ on YouTube and check that out on Facebook as well. So definitely something you should do. And we've got an awesome show planned for you. We're gonna be giving you a few updates on what's been going on in the wake of the terrible attack in the New York City subway system just yesterday. Ron DeSantis being handed like unilateral power over the fates of multiple politicians in Florida. That's fun. But what is actually fun, no sarcasm needed, is the apparently very well-funded challenger who might be going up against Kyrsten Sinema soon. So we're gonna be giving you the details on that. And of course, Jimmy Kimmel mocking Tucker Carlson for lying about his vaccination status. We're gonna have a little bit of a debate. I think it's gonna be quite fun. And along the way, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that'd be great. If you have any comments, tweets, super chats, we'll respond as we go. But yeah, is you ready to jump into some news?
Oh yeah, always ready.
Awesome, then let's do just that. Warning, dark material right off the bat. It's sort of the way the Damage Report works, but I always wanna make sure that you know before we jump into our videos, starting with this.
We don't give a could care less. And that's why we should be exterminated. That's why we should be off the planet, because we don't that fact that we're doing damage to the very thing that gives us life. We have no sense of it and don't wanna know. Which means you're gonna be exterminated. Pray to your face falls off. Do you not think the Jews who at Auschwitz didn't pray? Do you think the Jews that at Birkenau didn't pray and pray and pray? Did their God come and save? No, their God. And these are people, supposedly the original people.
That video is an excerpt of just part of one of the apparently multiple rants that have been uploaded to YouTube by Frank James, who is considered the lead, the only suspect in the attack on the New York subway this week. He had been considered a person of interest, upgraded to suspect earlier this morning. And if you missed the news as it developed earlier this week, a gunman in a subway alleged now to potentially have been Frank James wore a gas mask and began shooting, detonating smoke grenades. And we have even more details now with the hindsight of one day of investigation. But New York City Mayor Eric Adams says that the investigation right now, the focus is entirely on Frank James. There's a lot more of his rants online. We obviously bleeped the portions we felt necessary, and I don't feel the need to platform too much more of that, but I want you to know that this is who is currently being investigated. And we're gonna continue to give you details, despite the fact that apparently over the last day, Fox anchors are saying that the media is gonna bury this story now that the person of interest is black. That is a bizarre theory. It says a lot more about those hosts like Tucker Carlson than it does about the media, because I'm looking around the news today and it doesn't appear that it's been buried, certainly not on this channel and not all over the place. So we're gonna move on. Their interest apparently is focused entirely on the fact that the person of interest is black, not the fact that he's still on the run, that he didn't attack, apparently wants to kill as many people as possible. That's what's being alleged, and might well conduct another attack at any point. Weird to not focus on that part of it, but anyway, the NYPD has put out some information, some photos to help people potentially identify Frank Robert James. They gave information about the identity and the phone number for Crime Stoppers. Now, a little bit more information of what's been found in the last day. Chief James Essick told reporters that officers recovered a cache of weapons at the scene. This is guns, ammunition, a hatchet, and gasoline. Keys to a U-Haul van as well, which apparently is how they identified him. So again, this is an allegation. This is the prime suspect. That does not mean that it was definitely him. That is just what they think at this point is the case. Yaz, what do you think about this?
There's a lot going on here. First of all, whenever this happened, one of the first responses from the New York City government, specifically the mayor, was that they were gonna have even more cops available around the subway stations, which was unfortunately pretty predictable, I thought. Whether or not it should have had that response is up for debate, I guess, but it was pretty predictable. And then his manifesto, that video, it's a little confusing, but it's also, he does talk about his mental health. I don't know if it was in that clip or in other clips, but it is, I think it's a really interesting commentary on the fact that so many people have been living with so little hope for so long. Even if you look back just to 2020, or you can go back to 2016, or even further back if you want, this generation of people, and by generation, I mean like everybody living on the planet right now, is dealing with some astronomical issues, and there's little hope that any of it will actually get addressed. And every time you try to focus on one, you realize that you have to keep going further and further up, and then you just get hit by corruption. So I don't want to say that you can't blame people for taking action or for acting out, but at the same time, you kind of have to expect that there is a mental health crisis in this country, and that is going to have some consequences, and we can't just keep brushing it under the rug.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, obviously, I'm going to say, maybe I only speak for myself. We are all responsible for the things that we actually do. We are, right, you know, at the mercy of societal conditions, the people around us, the lack of support structures, the lack of an emphasis on, let alone funding for, thank you, mental health care and all of that. At the end of the day, we're still responsible for what we do.
Right, yeah, of course.
And if it turns out that it was him, you know, one would hope that, one would wish that someone might have seen this stuff earlier and potentially try to get him help. Maybe they did. We don't know. There is so much that we don't know about this, including whether it was actually the person that we believe it was. But I agree, like we are. One of the reasons that we as progressives focus so much on changing some of the foundational structures of our government, of our society, of our economy, is to fight back against that hopelessness, that feeling that the traditional routes to economic stability, to the sort of life that you are told as a kid you'll someday have been so cut off. They are so ephemeral now, and we don't want that to be. We don't want people to feel desperate, to feel like the government has no interest in them, let alone representing them. They've long since dispensed with those thoughts. But
well, John, what was he saying about thoughts and prayers, or you know, to pray and see what was happening? I couldn't quite catch what he was saying, but it seemed like he was making a reference to anytime something is actually happening, you just get told thoughts and prayers, and that's kind of it. That's all the response that you get from your elected officials. So is that what he was talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, we're trying to understand someone who obviously has some major issues. I don't know. Maybe it's a reference to that, to the specific invocation of thoughts and prayers we often hear. Maybe it's just it's referring to what we were talking about people feeling hopeless in the face of so many issues. I do know this. Other desperate people, other people who've also been left behind economically in so many different ways, killing them, not the solution, not on the same continent, the same planet, in the same solar system as a solution to any of those problems. Now, I want to give you just a couple more key updates, including that mayor of New York said just earlier this morning that, quote, there is no evidence that indicates at this time that there was an accomplice, and that, quote, it appears the shooting suspect was operating alone. That is potentially good news, and because they haven't found them, we want them to be as few as possible. And as of right now, hospitals have treated at least 29 people for injuries, 10 of them by gunfire. We talked about that on the show yesterday. Others for a smoke inhalation. Remember, some of these are people who were in subway cars, in subway stations. It's not a big place, obviously. Others were injured in the rush to get out of the station. And right now, Five of the victims remain in critical but stable condition. We talked about that yesterday. All are expected to recover. None are facing what is seen at this point as life-threatening injuries at this point. Yeah, so some good news in a difficult situation that has left a lot of people feeling at risk. And until they find this individual, there is going to be a great deal of fear. And I don't begrudge people that.
Yeah, and this one especially is hard because I was just there in Brooklyn, like, and I know a lot of people who live over there, and it is hard to see whenever anything like this happens. It's hard regardless of where it happens, but especially with Fox, they're in New York. Like, this guy is on the loose and they're in New York and they're trying to, you know, formulate some narrative. To be fair, they're not riding the subway in Brooklyn, but it just speaks to how disconnected all these people are from what's actually happening in their own city, in their own backyard. They don't care.
Yeah. 100%. No, it's all about scoring points. Again, as we've pointed out a million times, as Media Matters has been trying to educate people for more than a decade, Fox News has news in the title, and that's the only place news shows up.
I've just not a news calling channel. Them Fox News. I just call them Fox from now on.
It's Fox, yeah, you know, and that is, as someone who used to watch Married with Children on Fox back in the late 80s, I don't necessarily like to smear regular Fox, but no, it is not about news. It is not about making sure that people know what is going on. It is about producing political outcomes by producing crazy people. So in any event, that's the latest. We're going to continue to follow this story against the predictions of Tucker Carlson. I'm sure he'll be going on air tonight to say, well, turns out I was wrong. I'll be waiting for that.
Are you
Chris? I am.
I'm sorry, you're not on our RTT list. Can you please step out?
I sent an email actually, and I RTP.
We have a screening process.
You just need to talk.
Are you guys afraid of tough questions? I just wanted to ask the governor about the $624 million tax refund for wealthy corporations, including the $10 million that Disney's gonna get from our tax dollars. You guys should ask about that. Corporations are gonna get a $624 million corporate tax refund from this legislature. And Disney is going to get $10 million. Christina, you want to comment? Why are you guys assaulting a person just trying to ask a question? Cowards. Cowards are afraid of tough questions.
So that is, of course, a member of the press being thrown out of a press conference before Ron DeSantis would potentially have to face any difficult questions, any real questions. DeSantis is a bad guy. He has no interest in free speech or anything like that. He sees himself as a savvier future Donald Trump. That's all it is. That's all he is. And we know that he's bad, and stuff like that thankfully does make news. I want to make sure, though, that the substantive ways that he is going to exert his influence over Florida also make big news. And this week we have a massive incident or case of that, with the Florida legislature deciding that their traditional role in producing a US House district map, nah, that's not us anymore. DeSantis can do it. Whatever he wants, he can choose it. So normally state legislatures, including Florida's, and I can't stress that enough, usually draw a proposal for a plan that the governor approves or rejects. And they tried to do that in this case, but DeSantis vetoed the GOP-controlled legislature's proposed congressional districts back about 2 weeks ago, after proposing his own map that would increase the number of GOP seats while limiting two districts represented by Black Democrats. So I want you to understand that the map that he vetoed was not produced by progressives or commies. It was produced by Florida Republicans, who have their own interests at heart, that want a big congressional majority for Republicans, but it was not considered aggressive or discriminatory enough. The Florida GOP's map. No, so instead DeSantis, he thinks, okay, there's these two Black Democrats, gotta get rid of them, clearly. I think we can squeeze the electorate a little bit more. And so that's what he's trying to do, and he now has that power. In a memo to fellow lawmakers on Monday, the state Senate president Wilton Simpson, that's a real name, and state House Speaker Chris Sprouls said that the legislature would not draft new maps. Instead, they would allow DeSantis's map, DeSantis's office to craft whatever map he wants. And I guess we'll see what the Supreme Court ends up saying about it, because theirs was already going to be radical, was already going to be bonkers, and he wants something more extreme. Yaz, what do you think about them delegating their power to the governor in this way?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of reminiscent of Georgia, whenever Governor Kemp was allowed to basically oversee his own reelection campaign. It's weird because we talk about states' rights versus federal rights all the time in government in general, but it feels now like the states are becoming more dictatorial or more authoritative in a way that you would normally see from a federal government. And DeSantis is kind of scary and for a lot of reasons, but I mean, he's very Trumpian in a lot of the ideas that he has and a lot of the legislature that he tries to put forth. But on top of that, he's not a buffoon like Trump was or is, right? He's not obviously embarrassing. He's not outwardly, you know, just making a mockery of himself on Twitter every day, right? So he is somebody who people who don't like that aspect of Trump could finally get in line behind. And I think that's probably part of why he's been allowed to consolidate so much power in the time that he's had. Gerrymandering on top of that, redistricting, it's a huge problem and it's all legal. And that's a problem. The fact that it's legal is a problem. And I live in Texas, so I know that I'm very familiar with this issue. It's the bane of my Texas existence, which I mean, among other things, there's a lot of banes I could say, but it is a big problem because a lot of the issues that we face here in Texas, it's very hard to undo or reverse because we can't vote these people out, right? I always say nobody here likes Ted Cruz, but we can't get rid of him.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree. And by the way, some conservatives might be watching this and thinking like, yeah, the gerrymandering, it's going to help us in Florida. But is it actually going to help you nationally? Are you sure of that? We're going to give you some numbers in just a few minutes and we'll see if we can potentially change your mind about that. This may not be the political slam dunk you think it is. In the meantime, though, the ACLU is fighting back against this move, tweeting, this is a dangerous and unprecedented move. The Florida legislature's decision to cede this decennial process of redrawing lines for congressional districts to Governor DeSantis is undemocratic. So, you know, in line with their philosophy, people should pick their politicians, not the other way around. By the way, like, it's not like if they hadn't done this, well, then the people would be picking their politicians, not the other way around. It's a different level of bias. I don't trust the Florida Republicans to choose the map. I trust one Florida Republican even less, though. So bear that in mind. Now, it's probably going to be changed almost inevitably by Florida's Supreme Court, which has ruled in recent years in favor of a Fair Maps ballot measure passed last decade that limits the degree of gerrymandering that can take place in the redistricting process. So that might be part of why the Florida legislature tried to do a less insane map. It's not that they don't want to go farther, they'd cancel democracy entirely if they could, but they also want it to pass the judicial review. And so he can make up whatever he wants, map whatever he wants. It isn't necessarily going to make it through. That said, 3 of the 7 justices on the court are now DeSantis appointees. All 7 were appointed by Republican governors. So he's got that on his side, Yaz, at least that might help.
Yeah, well, even if he can't get something like this passed through the Supreme Court of Florida, one of the issues that is going to be a bigger problem later, I think, especially on a national scale, is the fact that he tried to do it, right? So that's going to resonate. If he's looking to run for the presidency in coming elections, that's something to add to his resume, that he tried to do this and that he vetoed this and that he tried to push this through and he rigged his Supreme Court to help him do so. I mean, I guess we'll see how it plays out, but overall, he's still crafting, he's branding himself basically. He's crafting a narrative that's going to make him more appealing to conservative ex-Trump supporters in the future.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to just give one follow-up to something you said earlier that I think you said he was less buffoonish than Trump. I think that's generally true. Still a buffoon though, both in that he's clearly not that intelligent. He's just comparatively intelligent compared to Trump, but we saw him trying to put on a mask. Early on in the pandemic, he is a buffoon. And putting out a campaign ad of you reading Trump bedtime stories to your kid and having your wife talk about how much of an alpha male Trump is, that's its own form of buffoonery.
You're right, John. I stand corrected. I'll take that.
It's not as daily. It's not as social media focused, but he's still a buffoon. Okay, so nationally, what's going on with redistricting? Well, I still have a lot of fears, but I found this to be super interesting. On 538, they've been doing an ongoing analysis of the maps being proposed, which ones are being rejected, which ones are being finalized. 41 states have now finished redrawing their congressional maps. Only Florida, Missouri, and New Hampshire have yet to approve a new map. Florida, of course, is a big one, so that is important. Although Republicans went into the redistricting cycle with control over drawing more districts, it's actually Democrats who have gained ground, at least hypothetically, through this process. So far, redistricting has created 10 more Democratic-leaning seats nationally, 6 fewer Republican-leaning seats, and 5 fewer highly competitive seats. So the first bit of that is good for the Democrats, the second bit is bad for the Republicans, the third bit is bad for everyone because we should want competitive congressional races. And this is apparently due mostly to aggressive map drawing in some states, like in New York, as well as court decisions that have overturned crazy radical Republican gerrymanders in states like North Carolina. After accounting for incumbency, however, Democratic gains are likely to be smaller. Democrats will likely flip between 1 and 4 seats in 2022 due to redistricting, but they could use every advantage they can get considering how things are looking for them. And so I will just say, by the way, this isn't taking into account voter suppression measures being passed in a lot of different states and making it harder to register and making it harder to vote by mail, all of that stuff. This is just the redistricting. Republicans, can we stop this? Like I told you that we shouldn't do this. Now it's turning out it might help the Democrats. I'm still telling you, let's not allow this. Let's not let the politicians draw the lines in their own favor. Like, is it gonna take this? Is it gonna take you guys losing seats, maybe not taking control before you finally get it through your skulls that gerrymandering is bad and that there is another way? Already in some places being done in the United States. Like, at what point do we get rid of this absolutely ridiculous process? I don't know, Yaz, what do you think is likely to happen as a result of this?
Likely to happen, I'm not sure, but this is reminiscent, I'll say, of the whole debate about the filibuster, right? Because a lot of Democrats don't want to get rid of it because then they say, well, once we're in power or once the Republicans are power, once there's a shift, then we could use it to our advantage versus them using it to theirs. At the end of the day, it's still a thing that needs to be abolished, regardless of which side is benefiting from it at the time, because everything is going to shift, right? The political affiliations, whichever party is the ruling party, all of that is constantly changing, and it should be constantly changing and evolving. But something like the filibuster, something like redistricting to deliberately benefit one party over another, that is wrong and it should be eliminated because it does not benefit the actual people. You talk about parties, yeah. Parties are not people.
100%. Yeah, I agree. So we're gonna keep advocating for this. We're gonna be consistent. And since you know it's one of the sorts of things that despite people wanting it, those in power don't. So we're probably not gonna win, but along the way, maybe it'll help the Democrats a little bit. Great plan, Republicans. Real smooth.
Like ghost guns sound scary. And it's like when you would talk about like an AR-15, like the when you peel back the layers of the marketing and the branding of it, then you realize what you have is a gun that shouldn't be used in a crime anyway.
Yes, it's guns. These have been around forever. I mean, they're basically just guns with obliterated serial numbers. That's all they are. But they figure out. Ghost gun sounds really fancy and scary and surreal. Oh, we got to get rid of the ghost gun.
Cracking down on ghost guns is not going to reduce crime at all. Over the last decade, only 2,500 ghost guns were used in criminal activity. So you could ban every single ghost gun right now, and you wouldn't drop the crime rate 1%. If I were a criminal and I was watching the president today, I'd say, he has my vote.
Okay, I might have to apologize for having mocked Jesse Waters in the past as being a dunce without any talent or any apparent reason for being on broadcast TV. He makes a good point there. Only 2,500 ghost guns have been used in crimes. So clearly that's not a problem. Only thousands of them have been used. He said that stat to persuade you to not be worried about ghost guns. What a smooth-brained idiot. Anyway, it's not even 100% true. The Justice Department says more than 23,000 firearms without serial numbers were reported recovered by law enforcement during potential crime scenes from 2016 to 2020. That's just a 4-year period, 23,000 firearms that can be classified as ghost guns. But the video that you just saw came about as a result of something Joe Biden did earlier this week. So he is changing the regulations on these ghost guns. And look at how whiny Fox is as a result of it. They hate the fact that it'll be a little bit harder to get a gun that you can use in a crime that can't be tracked in any way by law enforcement. Fox News loves to pretend that they support law enforcement, wants their job to be made impossible to do. But in case you're not familiar with ghost guns, I want to give you a little bit of information. Joe Biden announced federal regulations that will target privately made firearms that can be assembled from do-it-yourself kits purchased online or in a store. The weapons lack serial numbers, which makes it difficult to trace the owner. That's how you generally do that. Under current rules, the ATF doesn't consider them firearms. Like, even though they're firearms, they don't consider them firearms, meaning they aren't subject to the restrictions placed on weapon sales, including the requirement that buyers undergo a background check. But once they're assembled, a process that can take as little as 15 minutes, ghost guns operate exactly like regular guns. And these rules have been in the works for a year. They clarify that the unfinished parts sold in these gun kits, such as the frame of a handgun or the receiver of a long gun, will qualify now as firearms under federal law. So yes, like, it is an amazing position to think that that loophole, closing it, that's a bad thing. But they had to go to bat. They have to be against all gun control, no matter how common sense.
Yeah, and this is, by the way, after there just was a shooting in New York City, right? Mm-hmm. It's weird that this is the angle that they're taking. And it's not surprising, but it is strange because it seems a little inconsistent. But it's like a weird form of gaslighting to say something like, oh, there's only 2,500 of these out there, or whatever he said. 2,500 sounds like a lot to normal people, but if it's framed that way, then they're like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it is only 1%. And you know, that 1% doesn't mean anything to people because of the COVID deaths. And we realize that they didn't understand how percentages worked when you're dealing with large populations, right? Mm-hmm. So all of this is like the bare minimum that Joe Biden could do, right? This is just dipping his toe into the pond whenever it comes to gun control and all things related to gun control. And they're mad about it, over 2,500 potential guns. And I mean, they have to convince the public too that Joe Biden is being irrational in doing so, that it's not actually going to make a difference to a problem that they don't even acknowledge is a problem. So yeah. Even if they did though, they don't have any solutions. So all they can do is criticize the people who are trying to get something done.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, if it doesn't, look. So, but again, you framed it very well. This might not stop much crime. Then, but why are you against it though? Wouldn't you want us to be doing everything we can to stop crime? You pretend that you're against crime. And think about the stakes.
I do.
So this might stop some crime. Okay, but now if I buy a kit, they'll be able to potentially track it like they can with literally every other firearm. This will produce quality finally amongst firearms. Why would a person who buys regular firearms want this other class of guns to not have the same regulations? And then think about who potentially would be purchasing these. So as some people are saying, they might just be Lego freaks that also love guns, I guess. But I don't know, maybe they want a gun that can't be tracked. Maybe they don't think they can make it through a background check. Maybe that's a loophole that's worth closing. But they don't even make the case for why this shouldn't be done. They just whine around the edges of it. That's all that it is. Again, it's why this is not news on Fox News. It is petulant grievance farming. That's all it is. So what will the change actually produce? I'm gonna tell you, and you tell me if this is unacceptable. Commercial manufacturers of these kits will have to be licensed. Bear in mind, they're making guns. Perhaps they should be licensed. They must add serial numbers on the kit's frame or on the receiver so that they can be tracked if a crime is committed. Commercial sellers of the kits will have to become licensed and will be required to run background checks on potential buyers before sale, just like they do with all commercially made firearms. Now, beyond that, he wants the sale and possession of ghost guns to be made illegal. He is saying that Congress has to do that. Biden is not doing that individually. I'm sure they'll have a problem with that, because Fox News doesn't want to live in a world where you can't buy a kit online that lets you kill someone without going through a background check. And so anyway, it will be a little bit harder. There's still, people are talking about 3D printing. People 3D print these ghost guns. There should be regulation on those sorts of, I guess, files that are necessary to do that printing. But I just want less people to be killed by untraceable firearms. I guess I'm a radical. Any other thoughts, right? Yes.
No, I mean, it's just impressive a little bit. Like, you know how people who lie, you can usually tell that they're lying because they can never keep up with their own lies. And eventually they stick their own foot in their mouth. I don't know how the anchors over at Fox News and the people who watch them and kind of parrot their ideas, I don't really know how they keep up with whatever they're supposed to believe, because there's no consistency there, right? It's illogical, the things that they believe. They want to be tough on crime, but they also want ghost guns available to the public with little to no regulation with it. So it's kind of impressive, but also really terrifying. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They have to be pro gun. They like to pretend they're against crime. They like to pretend they're against people murdering cops with untraceable weapons that they got via not having to have background checks. I feel like at some point you're going to have to choose between those. Anyway, the gun lobby, by the way, hates this too. I don't even understand that. Most of the gun lobby is made up by corporations that have to abide by these things. The world makes no sense, but I do know that the status quo produces a lot of needless death via guns, and I think something should be done about that.
Just released his budget for fiscal year 2023 and includes significant tax hikes on individuals and business, the largest of which would increase the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%.
You all know, the entire country knows that I am opposed to raising the corporate income tax. And so that was true yesterday, it's true today.
No new taxes on corporations. Yes, now you might wonder, wait, why are people cheering for that? She's a Democratic senator who is steadfastly opposed to even just going back to, like, not even the whole level of corporate taxation that we had under Obama. This wouldn't take us back to 35%. They're talking about 28%. Why is this horrible position getting her an ovation? Well, it's because she was speaking at the Arizona Chamber of Commerce this week. Those are her constituents. Those are the people cheering for her. But if this sort of thing, these stunts, these positions, the lack of democratic accountability by Kyrsten Sinema, if that has been frustrating you, well, I've got some good news. Representative Ruben Gallego, who is the rumored front runner to potentially go up against Kyrsten Sinema in a Democratic primary, has broken his personal fundraising records in the first quarter of 2022. And that's way before the primary. That's just because people believe that he might go up against her. He's raising more money than ever before. He had a record fundraising quarter, and that's amidst obviously a lot of criticism of Kyrsten Sinema by outlets like ours. He raised $512,740 for his house race in the first 3 months of the year, almost four times more than his haul in the first quarter of 2020. And so, that of course is in advance of an election. He's doing way better just on the belief that he might go up against her. Now, I've got a lot of other amazing data, very good news. If you want to see Kyrsten Sinema get booted from the Congress, but Yaz, I want to give you a chance to jump in. What do you think about this potential challenge?
Well, I like it. It's good. I think it's indicative of the fact that the people of Arizona were duped, just like the people of West Virginia were duped. They thought they were getting one thing, they got something literally the opposite of what they wanted, what they asked for. But I did think it was funny in that clip that you just showed that the slow clap was started by the guy who was interviewing her, by the host himself. Like, you're not supposed to start the slow clap yourself, but he was the first one to start clapping and then everybody else joined in. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, that's a little cringy. I guess you'll take your claps where you can get them or whatever. But yeah, you'll notice like it's not like her constituents that are cheering for her. That would require them to actually be able to get into a room with her or to know where she's gonna be. We're way past that.
She doesn't, does she? Right? She hasn't talked to her constituents anymore.
No,
she runs from her donors. Yeah, they stopped talking to her.
She should, because they don't like her. So I'm gonna show you some of my favorite polls that I have ever seen. Arizona Democratic primary voters, what do they think about Sinema? They don't like her. She is net negative 57 in the last big Data for Progress poll. And by the way, like it's not like Democratic primary voters love other Democrats, but they especially despise her. Joe Biden was at plus 62. Joe Biden, who this is like a year into his presidency when this poll was done. People have a lot of issues with him. The other senator, Mark Kelly, was at plus 59. This isn't just the normal thing where we're very critical of our politicians. This is a unique thing, and it gives me so much life that people finally have seen who one of these politicians is. And so I want to jump ahead. We're going to skip the next text graphic. Heads up to the director. Let's go to this. Do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Kyrsten Sinema poll? This is done over time. And I love every bit of this. So she had been largely favored, 60 to 70% approval amongst registered voters back pre her stance in support of the filibuster and her incredibly condescending thumbs down on the minimum wage. You see her immediately tank as a result of that, jumps down a bunch, and then gradually starts going down again. When she skipped the January 6th commission vote, immediate fall there. And it has only been downhill from there. And I could not love this more, that people saw specific things she did. She wanted to send a message And apparently she did. Message received by the voters. This is exactly what American politics should look like. What do you think?
What did she think was going to happen, right? I mean, a lot of these people, whenever they're elected to their first term, they'll say whatever it takes to get them elected. But then in their first term, they do have to kind of stick to that a little bit, right? If they're wanting to get reelected, they don't want to lose those voters that voted for them in the first place. But she doesn't seem to care. I guess the money's coming in, so she's not worried about it. Maybe she's not planning on running for a second term, or she's not planning on being elected to a second term, and she's not worried about that either. Either way, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else was going to happen. If you ran on one platform, then you do the exact opposite. People aren't going to approve of what you're doing in office. Exactly. Or maybe she was just thinking that people aren't paying close enough attention, but her antics are so ridiculous that she's getting national attention. So the people of Arizona, surely they know what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, she knew who her voters were when she was trying to get elected. Like, she knew to pretend to be progressive. She knew that. And no, they actually are, and they actually pay attention, and they are not going to stand for this. They know that the state deserves and can have better representation, and maybe we'll have that. Representative Ruben Gallego, as of right now, is at plus 49 amongst voters, plus 7 points from when they polled back in October of last year. So, and by the way, his unknown figure went down by 7. So it appears that as more of the voters there find out about him, especially as an alternative to Kyrsten Sinema, his vote share has gone up. You talked about how she might not want to run again. I think that that's certainly a possibility. Well, let's send her running. Like, if Ruben goes for another year raising a ton of money, and by the way, if other people want to throw their hats in the ring, feel free, have at it. I want that to be a contested primary, but the more money, the more attention goes into not whether she might be primaried, but who is going to go up against her, then maybe that makes her like take a look out there and say, I was always just going to end up ditching the voters for a seat on a corporate board. Maybe I'll do it sooner rather than later. And it would be pretty soon, because she's up for reelection, not in this cycle, but in the next one. So if this primary is going to come, it's going to start within about a year at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one to watch, not just for the people of Arizona, but nationally. She and Manchin together, they've stifled so many different bills that have tried to get through, things that would actually help their constituents, both in West Virginia and in Arizona. So everybody's watching these races, everyone's watching these congressional seats, and people are donating, even if they don't live in those states. So both of those senators should keep an eye on that.
Exactly. I'm going to send you out with one more bit of good news. This last poll, Sinema has apparently a current ceiling of 17% against possible Democratic primary challengers. So she's at 16% against Ruben Gallego. Against Regina Romero, she's at 17%. They despise her. And oh, when we finally get to the primary, if it happens, I am going to enjoy covering that so much week after week, month after month. I hope you'll join us.
We're all getting a little conspiratorial. I certainly am. I try to keep it under control. I do. I try to keep it under. You know, I don't want to be a crazy person on the bus muttering to strangers, okay? That's where I'm moving. The COVID thing, I was like, what? This is crazy. Yeah, get my fourth shot? Okay. Yeah, I don't think so. No, I skipped the first three. I'm not getting that one either.
Tucker Carlson is so desperate to have the audience at that church love him, so much so that he will lie about his vaccination status. That is my allegation. I'll go more in depth. But first, there's another person who didn't buy what Tucker Carlson was selling. Take a listen to this.
Tucker Carlson made an interesting confession at a mega church in San Diego. He said he's not vaccinated. He said he wanted to get vaccinated, but every time he tried, a caravan of migrants blocked him from the entrance to the CVS. I have to say, I don't believe he isn't vaccinated. I don't believe it for a second. I think he is vaccinated. Tucker Carlson is the vaccine equivalent of the guy on the Titanic who dressed as a woman to get on the lifeboat first. The sickest part is his audience is mostly like scared and impressionable senior citizens who happen to be the most vulnerable group when it comes to COVID. This is like selling Girl Scout cookies outside a diabetes clinic. But I'm glad to see the church welcoming prostitutes, as Jesus taught us to do, especially during this Holy Week.
I'm not necessarily much of a Jimmy Kimmel fan on like a daily basis, but I like that, especially the prostitutes comment at the end. Pretty good. So look, we have to grapple with this. We're gonna give you some information about vaccination, but first, yes, I'm gonna give you first crack. If we had our Supreme Court segment open already, we'd deploy it right now. Are you buying it? Did he skip the first three shots?
Isn't he not allowed to? Doesn't he work for Fox? Unless they gave him some kind of like Tucker Carlson exemption, which would be fitting for a lot of the way he lives his life. But no, like they required vaccines for anybody in the building. They required testing for people. So no, I don't think that he's not that. And also, it doesn't make sense for him not to be vaccinated, right? Why would Tucker Carlson not want to be vaccinated? He sees so many people. He's talking to mega churches full of people who presumably are also unvaccinated because they're cheering for him also not being. It doesn't make any sense. He's definitely vaccinated, if you ask me. That's my opinion.
I certainly agree. Here's my vote. Hell yes, he's vaccinated. Like, if you're a conservative, you're watching this, you need to understand the distinction between the persona he presents to get you to like him and who you know he is based on the facts. Pretending that he's a guy that's like very concerned about the VAERS database. No, that's a game. He knows that you want vax suspicion. That's a product that he produces, like in a factory. He boxes it up, he sends it out to get you to watch. That's not his life. He wants an audience. He doesn't want to die for the audience. He doesn't mind if you die. He'll still be making millions of dollars a year. He just wants the audience. He was vaxxed the first day he could have gotten vaxxed. He went to Ivy League schools, man. He's the heir to a fortune. You think he's risking his life? You think just because he says he's worried about side effects, that's how he's risking his family? He's gonna get his wife sick? You really think that? It is a game, man, and you're the playing piece in it. But those are our votes. We don't buy it. We also polled you, is Tucker vaxxed? Right now, there's been 500 votes on YouTube already. I just put it up. 96% say yes, he is vaxxed. It is the most laughable, needy lie ever. He just wants them to accept him. And I'm gonna skip ahead just a little bit, but to Yaz's point, Fox News' parent company, in a memo sent out by a senior executive last September, said that 90% of their employees were vaccinated. It said that those who were not had to get daily tests. You think Tucker was having some PA stick a thing up his nose every day to prove a point? No way, he got vaxxed. And as of right now, in terms of COVID in New York, we'll focus on because that's of course where he's broadcasting. Cases have gone down significantly from their peak at the beginning of the year. You can see on that chart though that they are slowly starting to go up, and fingers are very much crossed that will not go much farther and that we're not entering into another wave. Any other thoughts, Yas?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if this was the same church that he spoke about or spoke at, but I just did a video recently on Rebel HQ about protesters outside of an event in San Diego County, where Tucker Carlson was speaking outside of a mega church. So I guess it's the same one, I don't know. But yeah, people don't like him. But I mean, the people in the audience, they were laughing at him. They thought he was funny, I guess. Yeah. Is he funny?
To them, I guess. I don't know. He occasionally laughs. It's a horrifying scene. I hate it every time I see it. But yeah, I feel bad. I'm sure that church has had people who have needlessly died there. Potentially, they'll have more. And if they do, is Tucker going to show up for the funeral? Is he going to be there at the wake, comforting the family of those who've died so that he can have cred on the right? Sort of doubt it. I don't think he's making the flight for that.
More relevant, however, is the sheer density of these scams. The one market that cryptocurrency has successfully disrupted is the market of fraud. Think of it this way, a big population of people have willingly self-identified that they have substantial disposable income, poor judgment, low social literacy, a high tolerance for nonsensical risk, and are highly persuadable.
So that is Dan Olson, who did an amazing docu-style video on YouTube breaking down everything you need to know about cryptocurrency as well as NFTs, including the psychology of those who get involved in this. I spoke to him on the Damage Report, And now there's some academic research that gets into a lot of what he talked about in his video. There's a study titled Dark Personalities in Bitcoin, the Influence of the Dark Tetrad on Cryptocurrency Attitude and Buying Intention. And it makes some bold claims about some crypto enthusiasts, not all of them, but take a look at this. A team of experts surveyed more than 500 people to uncover the personality traits that are most common among crypto nuts. They identified that many investors exhibit signs of what they call the dark tetrad, a group of four traits made up of narcissism, Machiavellianism, psychopathy, and sadism. In plain English, that means dark tetrads have an inflated sense of self-importance and derive pleasure from the pain of others, for instance, them missing out on financial windfalls. They also find it difficult to empathize with others and are sly and manipulative. And one of the authors on this, Dr. Wang, says dark tetrad traits are dark because of their evil qualities, extreme selfishness, and taking advantage of others without empathy. Machiavellians, for instance, are good at deception. They take a calculated approach to achieving goals. Narcissists might be drawn to the technology because they tend to focus on the positive side of life, like the fact that they will get rich. And lastly, impulsive psychopaths and sadists like crypto because they are thrill seekers who fear missing out on the rewards of investing. Now, bear in mind, the scientists say they're not saying that everyone who's into crypto has these traits, but a certain subset does exhibit these traits, and it sort of makes sense. You can the study is online. You can read it if you want to. Yaz, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so cryptocurrency is one of those things that could be really great for the people. It could be a really democratic institution. I think that's why a lot of people are interested in it. We'll have to see how it ends up playing out. But these bad actors could ruin it for a lot of people, right? It makes sense that they're attracted to it for all the reasons that you just stated, especially the Machiavellian aspect of it. One thing with Machiavellian people is that they don't consider how you get there as long as you get there, right? It doesn't matter how many people you have to step on. It doesn't matter how many institutions you have to tank or whatever. As long as you get to the end result justifies all the means it took to get there. So, I mean, people are gonna suck. It doesn't matter what industry it is. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. There's always gonna be bad actors. There's always gonna be narcissists and terrible
people. I agree. I got to cut you off because we're out of time on our hour, though. We'll talk more about this maybe on the other side. Everyone watching live, thank you so much. We've got more show, though, so don't go anywhere. We're going to take like a 2-minute break and we'll be right back to pick it up. TYT Engage has been here for 21 months, says Dragon Daddy, in a tie for a second day. I couldn't get it off, actually. I don't know how to untie the knot, so I guess I'm stuck with this for a while until it rots off my body. Spank me, Dragon Daddy, Dragon, says procrastinating my thesis to see Dragon Daddy. Thank you for being with us. Get the thesis done, though, at some point. MSM super chatted to say, joined late today, but had to send in a super chat. Looking spiffy, Dragon Daddy. Still miss the t-shirts, though, Lone Pine Dragon. We will see. I did a poll, by the way. Three options. T-shirts was at 58%. Suits was at 7%. Suits with casual Friday was at 34%. So it's like a 60-40 split. We'll see. This isn't a democracy, okay? This is a cheer-tatorship. Okay, I'm the one who chooses, so we'll see what happens. Anyway,
I feel kind of bad for the lack of support for your outfit choice, John.
I know.
Although,
people love to mock me.
The person who mentioned the birthday suit, I was a little terrified. Just imagining seeing you here on the screen and having to co-host with a guy in his birthday suit seemed.
We were all perfectly terrified before you spelled it out. We were already terrified. Thank you.
It was just in my brain. I couldn't help it. Sorry.
It shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Oh, Azrael says, we have lost him to the corporate media look. Run, Dragon Daddy. Take it off while you still can. We'll see. I might finish out the week. I might do casual Fridays with Brett because he'll make fun of me and I just don't want to expose myself to that. So that may be a compromise that we do. Also, Probot Animation sent in a chat message to say, I need to apologize to the TDR community. I made angry comments here calling for violence against Karens because I get so fed up with their aggression, but that was wrong and bad and I'm sorry for it. Look at that. That's a good apology. I like it. Yes, we don't advocate for violence. We avoid, you know, like physical mockery and stuff like that. We try to have some standards for our community, and that is why our community is such an inviting place. The chat sections of most YouTube politics shows, I don't think I need to tell you, are a trash heap, but ours is a lot of fun. So thank you to everybody. By the way, I saw in the YouTube chats, Chunk said, how do I get my dragon name? I want to be the Chunky Dragon. But this is what you don't understand yet. you already are the chunky dragon. You might have to change it for the display on YouTube, but the chunky dragon has been inside you from the very beginning. And let's all hail chunky dragon there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.